This time of year, especially in election year, a poll is seemingly released every few minutes. But one poll, the Arkansas poll, takes the temperature specifically of Arkansas residents about their opinions. The 2012 edition, released late last week, shows the state's residents are most concerned about the economy, will vote heavily in favor of Mitt Romney over Barack Obama, and may give the proposed sales tax to benefit highway projects and approval. Janine Perry, the director of the Arkansas poll and a professor of political science at the University of Arkansas, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy news studio last week, and she told me the poll also indicates high marks for Governor Mike Beebe.
Beebe, really, since we've been clocking him, has been at 70% or above, and this year was no exception. I think it's debatable in given years, but from what I can tell, the data I've seen, it makes him the most popular governor in the country. And, you know, it really especially stands out for a couple of reasons, but one of them is, especially during an election cycle, you know, elected politicians usually feel glad to get above 50%. So to, you know, not only go over that hurdle, but by so far is really notable, and he did it again this year.
But he's a Democrat in a state that's increasingly Republican. We may have a Republican legislature.
Yeah, I think that's also really interesting. When you look at some of the other data, actually in the poll for the last couple of years, and you look at the election results in addition, and you hear about some of the polling that's happening right now, it certainly looks like the state is experiencing a rightward shift. So for this Democratic governor in this rightward shifting state to do so well also, I think, is remarkable. But my own thought about it is that he is doing what Democrats have done for decades in Arkansas while other southern states were shifting to the right, which is he's still very good at retail politics. He speaks in a very plain way, a way about education, about economics. He sticks to the bread and butter issues. He just really doesn't seem to engage anyone in those hot button social issues. And I think for that reason, people just trust him. You know, you look at him, you listen to his voice, and you say, well, you know, he's no Barack Obama, he's no Nancy Pelosi. He's one of us, and therefore he's okay, even if he's a D, which I think is super interesting.
Speaking of hot-button social issues, you asked about a couple of those in this year's poll.
We did. So a question we haven't asked a lot of times, we asked in other occasions when it hadn't qualified for the ballot, when they didn't have enough signatures, but is the medical marijuana issue. And while it looks like it'll lose, I think the fact that it's polling over 40% support is really significant, because folks have been trying to, you know, usually nonprofit groups, very grassroots for the most part. They've been trying to qualify this thing for the ballot since I've been in Arkansas, so at least 14, 15 years. And the fact that they qualified it and then stand to get at least 40% of the vote, I think suggests that they'll get some attention from national groups, that they'll probably go for it again. And I think if they have any sense, the proponents of the measure will probably tighten up those dispensaries, which seems to be what even, you know, some of the proponents are a little queasy about, maybe tighten up some of those restrictions and make another run at it. So what this year's poll says to me about the medical marijuana issue is that this isn't over.
There's still, as you and I sit here and talk, a week and a half until election. With some of these things that are so close, could there be a shift? Could a massive campaign change things? Or have people by now pretty much figured out where they're going to be?
I think on most issues by this point, people have figured out where they're going to be. You know, I think Mitt Romney will win the state by at least 20 points. You know, people are already voting. They've made up their minds. There's really no campaign by either candidate here. So I don't think that will change. Every once in a while on those ballot measures, you'll see sort of a late-breaking campaign, if you will. And in fact, it's kind of a sore spot for us. But in 2008, on Initiated Act 1, which had to do with cohabitating unmarried partners,
right,
and fostering an adoption of foster children, a campaign went into full gear right after we came out of the field. So I'm not hearing any noises about that on any of the ballot measures that either of the ballot measures that we tested this year. But I always think that it's still a possibility, you know, so it remains out there.
The highway tax, which, you know, 6 months ago, it didn't seem dead in the water, but it seemed like there was an uphill climb for it. And now it looks like it has a shot at passing.
I think it does have a shot. You know, we got, 53% of our very likely voters saying that they approved of the measure. There was, a small percentage of don't knows, and then something like 43% saying they disapproved of the measure. So I think it has a good shot. I'm not ready to say I'm super confident about it, and partly because the margin of error for our poll is plus or minus 3.5 percentage points, so that's right in there. But also because in the end, you know, it's always an anti-tax environment. Sure, the economy's turning around, but it's doing it slowly. So I don't feel super confident about it, but it is pretty remarkable, I think, in terms of the pitch that elites have been making and perhaps just the familiarity with the state of the roads that a lot of Arkansans have, that they're certainly willing to consider it, and that's what we see reflected this year.
The first After the first Arkansas poll, we had a conversation, and you said at some point cell phones were going to really start to change how polling works. Has that happened?
It has definitely happened, which is why we, like other pollsters, are upping the number of the interviews that we complete by cell phone users, and we actually have a more specialized screen this year. It wasn't just, you know, have we reached you on a cell phone, but it was, are you either a cell phone exclusive or a cell phone mostly cell phone user? We're doing that for a lot of different reasons. One is, as a lot of your listeners will know, Arkansas, because it's a poor state, has a disproportionate percentage of its citizens who are using cell phones only. The other reason we do it is, of course, a lot of young people are particularly in that group, and our poll tends to be very high in terms of the age groups that are represented, higher than average, right, compared to the demographics of the state. So this is one way to kind of pull that back down and reach out to some of those busier, on-the-move, younger voters. So this time we did 20% of our completes were done by cell. And I imagine we'll just continue to up that every year because it's significant.
More people rank the economy number one as the big concern. That's not a surprise, but it was what was second? It was a distant second.
A distant second. Almost always it's the economy, healthcare, and education. But this was the second or third year in a row, which should come as no surprise in this economy, that the economy just blew everything else out of the water. Education and healthcare both being a distant second, and then almost everything after that falling into the single digits.
What will you do now? Okay, the poll's out there. And then November 7th, I imagine as the results are coming in the night of November 6th, you're kind of watching and...
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's, you always kind of hold your breath and there's... a little bit of wishing, right, that you got it right. We've been really lucky, though, and that just has to do with our call center for a long time, the Survey Research Center that we used on campus for 12 years, and then the two different vendors we've gone to contract out. With the death of the Survey Research Center, they have really done it. They've done us justice. And again, with the exception of the 2008 blowing it there on Initiated Act 1, we've come remarkably close. And I think it's because they just really use best practices. We're using live calls. If we don't get someone at home, we don't move directly to the next number, so we don't, you know, burn through a lot of telephone numbers. The reason for that is...
Okay, so if you called me at home and I didn't answer, you got my machine or just rang...
Right. We call you back up to maybe five or six times, and you're welcome, by the way, Kyle. But the reason we do that, right, is that what we find empirically is that there's a certain kind of person who's more likely to be home, and there's a certain kind of person who's less likely to be home, and we don't want our results to just reflect the opinions of the type of person who is home, if that makes sense.
How many different factors are there? How many layers go into this to make sure you've got a sample that you feel comfortable with? I mean, if you're worried about who's home, who's not.
Right.
I thought it was D versus R, likely voters to not likely voters.
Well, I think in many polling situations it is, but because the Arkansas poll does only a tiny bit of election prediction and everything right. else is really supposed to be about public policy preferences and patterns over time, we still really are trying to use the gold standard of randomization. How many ways can we try to reach out to all different kinds of individuals in Arkansas so that we can really take the pulse of the state in the way that we imagined it from the beginning?
You also would see, didn't you take the pulse this year on gay marriage with Arkansans?
We did. I think this is the third time. It's not consecutive years, but we have a question we've been using for some time. There's not a lot of movement in it. We're not moving in at the same rate, right, as the rest of the country. But if you take marriage and civil unions together, it approaches something like 40% of the Arkansas population is willing to extend, you know, some degree of marriage equality that way, which I think is interesting. But in general, we just see a lot of status quo here, which is not what we're seeing nationally. So that's one way I think that we remain somewhat distinctive.
Politicians, public policy people will usually praise a poll if it shows that people agree with them and will question the validity of a poll if it shows that people disagree with them. Do you have any anecdotes of knowing how people use the poll, not in public, not denouncing it or praising it, but getting it and figuring out, like, keep Medicaid in the 2012 Arkansas poll mm-hmm. was more than expand Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Do you know of instances where people behind closed doors have looked at these and said, okay, we've got to change a message or do a better job?
I do. And I think without revealing too much, I think right. that in one of the ones this year, I know that some of the interest groups involved in one of the policy debates, did some of their messaging around trying to figure out what that means. In the past, this is sort of a related example, maybe about 3 or 4 years into doing the poll, we started having individuals from the offices of high up elected officials calling to see when the results would be released. They knew better than to ask for a preview. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't party specific. It wasn't individual specific. But I thought, oh, okay, well, people are paying attention. And that's pretty gratifying.
Have you ever had a situation in your polling experience where something's coming back and you think, wow, that just is surprising? And then you kind of get a funny feeling in your stomach, like, is this... are we doing this right? Or?
Right. I would actually say Initiated Act 1, the cohabitating one, was one where I just thought, I don't think that this is probably accurate. And that's when we looked back at the way we worded the measure. And the wording is so important, and yet it's so difficult because you have a very small number of words you can use in order to convey it clearly on the phone to somebody who's trying to make dinner, you know, while you're talking to them. So in that case, what we did was what we usually try to do, which is capture the essence of how people would experience the measure on the ballot. And the ballot that year made only reference to unmarried cohabitating partners. It said nothing about gays and lesbians. But then right after we left the field, the proponents of the ban on fostering and adoption by these cohabitating unmarried partners, released, I think they said they did about 400,000 flyers the Sunday before the election in church parking lots on windshields. So they made it about, you know, what I think it largely was about for the proponents, whereas my phone call, my question didn't capture that. So that was one probably where I had some doubts in the beginning.
Well, but don't you have to be very careful about how you ask, right? No matter what the question is.
Most definitely. I know one of the programs y'all run that I love on the media does some great stuff with this all the time about the significance of language in reporting, in political rhetoric, and how sophisticated parties and their surrogates and candidates have become in using political rhetoric, which will then shape the nature of the debate. I mean, I'm convinced now, people have been talking about this for a long time, but you really can't ask a good question on abortion, for example. There's really no language you can use to accurately capture, I think, the nuance to a lot of people's position on that issue. So, and that's just one of many. Something I've gotten into some squabbles with some of the local editors, some of the state editors about, also immigration, I think, is falling into that same area. Are these people, should we refer to individuals who may not be here legally as, undocumented immigrants? Should we refer to them as illegal aliens? You know, anymore, both of those are value laden. So if mm-hmm. I use one or the other, I'm kind of tipping my hand and probably shaping your response. So that's the trickiest thing we come across every year. Sometimes the very words are inadequate.
Can a poll, any poll, end up wagging the dog? I mean, if a poll comes out that it's candidate Wilson is far ahead of candidate Jones, mm-hmm. can that...
I don't know. Somebody asked me that recently. I suspect there are examples of that. It's very difficult to prove empirically because there are so many other factors, right, in a busy election cycle. There's a piece of me, to return to that open wound that is Initiated Act 1 of 2008.
This is sticking with you.
It really is. There's a piece of me that wonders whether or not us releasing the poll 2.5 weeks or so before the election date, showing that it had a chance of being defeated, that's what we showed that mm-hmm. was incorrect, it had a chance of being defeated, and maybe even was likely to be defeated, might not have gotten the attention of the proponents of the ban and mobilized them in a way they might not otherwise have been mobilized. There's not really a way for me to control that, but am I mindful of it in election years? I most definitely am.
If people want to see the Arkansas poll, they can go online?
They can. I think the easiest thing to do for me is just to Google in quotes the Arkansas poll. We almost always come up first, unless there's been some sort of sports incident and a Arkansas and poll appear repeatedly together.
Of course.
But otherwise, we're there, and I think that's the easiest thing for folks to do.
Janine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Janine Perry is the director of the Arkansas poll. The 2012 poll results were released late last week.
This is Ozarks at Large, and this is our fall fundraiser. Just a reminder that it is you, our listeners, who are the biggest contributors to KUAF, and you are the most important part of keeping us on the air. So if you would like to do your part and pledge your financial support, you can do so right now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. If you happen to be streaming us online, you can also pledge there at supportkuaf.com.
And in just a few minutes on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Full Plate, a brand new cookbook that is very much Northwest Arkansas-centric, the story behind it and the story of what's inside that cookbook coming up in just a couple of minutes on Ozarks at Large. We are right in the middle of our fall on-air fundraiser. I'm hoping you're going to take time to show your support for public radio and Ozarks at Large and KUAF if you haven't already done so by making a financial contribution in any amount that you can. Now, you may pay for cable or satellite television. You may pay for internet access. But public radio and KUAF comes to you free of charge. And I want you to think for a moment how much you get from KUAF. News, features, entertainment, Prairie Home Companion. What do you know? This American Life, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, on the media. Of note, with Katie Hendrickson, Ozarks at Large, that's just the beginning. If you are a regular KUAF listener and what you hear keeps you informed and entertained, I hope you'll take just a moment to show your support and appreciation by making a call and making a financial contribution. I do appreciate you listening. You can call 800-522-5823. Or 575-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com.
And this is very much a group effort, and we would like to thank our volunteers, our phone volunteers. I know I saw Gina King out there this morning. Also, all of the local restaurants that have been helping keep those volunteers as well as the staff fed. This morning breakfast was A Bon Pon on the U of A campus. There's some U.S. pizza out there that I'm
eventually
really excited to get eventually. And several other local restaurants. So a big thank you to everyone who has helped make this a successful fundraiser so far. Also helping make this successful are some of our listeners who have issued challenges. We're still working on a challenge by the Hartman family, Evie, Rosa, and Sylvie. The girls have issued a challenge for new members in the amount of $1,000. We have worked on that since about 8:20 this morning, and we are down to $230 remaining on that.
You can help us meet that. Your first-time contribution will be doubled if you can contribute up to $230. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. Many things that KUAF has to write a check for every year, of course. There's electricity that is needed to keep the transmitter on and the rental at the tower, and also programs that you hear on KUAF. Fresh Air, which, of course, is one of the most popular programs on KUAF, Terry Gross and those wonderful interviews every Sunday through Friday.
Six nights
a week, $16,450 a year. That's one program, and that is not one of the more expensive ones. When you start thinking about Morning Edition at $108,000 and All Things Considered at nearly $56,000, you see how the costs add up. Your contribution helps pay for all the programs on KUAF. 800-522-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com. It takes, what, 2 minutes?
Maybe 2 minutes.
All right. And you do not have to be thanked on the air. We certainly appreciate and like to thank people on the air, but that's an option for you as well. Everything is an option. Whether you call, how much you call, how you make the pledge, whether it's credit card, debit card, payroll deduction, and even if we can thank you on the air.
Absolutely. Again, the numbers are 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Also online at supportkuaf.com.